Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to It's Okay to Say Gay. I'm your host, Fahmy Redwood.
And I'm Andy Eganthorpe.
So as we hopefully move away from the pandemic, one thing I've thought about lately is how many of us are left with some sort of PTSD. So for example, I went to an event a few nights ago and had inner cringe when shaking hands with people. All I kept thinking about was, Miss Rona is going to get all over my hands. And while, you know, I'm kind of making fun of it now, I'm so interested to see what mental health data is going to look like in the near future.
I'm so curious to see what that looks like as well, because as someone who struggles with anxiety and depression, the pandemic exacerbated my issues tenfold. And if I'm being honest with you, those issues definitely still linger.
Well, therapists say the pandemic influenced the mental health for many people in marginalized communities. Because they face more stereotypes and more negative experiences than others, it affects their mental health.
And when you think of all the challenges surrounding COVID, we can't ignore the rise in anti-Asian hate crimes.
Yep. The Trevor Project released a new report that focused on AAPI LGBTQ youth and mental health. The numbers it found is heartbreaking, like how 40% of AAPI LGBTQ youth seriously considered suicide in the past year. Producer Jill Webb digs into this, but she also meets one AAPI LGBTQ youth leader who is working to improve the mental health in their communities.
The middle school experience isn't complete without having a crush. Remember the feeling of butterflies in your stomach? But for some, it was more confusing than exciting.
I just couldn't figure out why I really cared about this girl. And I cared about her. Like, I wanted to spend, like, literally every minute, like, with her.
That's Crystal Wadato.
Like, identical to how I felt about other, like, guy crushes that I had when I was in elementary school.
She's a queer, first-gen, Chinese-Indonesian-American who lives in California. Crystal is now a high school senior. But back then, when they were in middle school, like many preteens, she was trying to figure out their sexuality.
Freaking out and watching all of these like queer films that had like horrible depictions back then of like queer people and queer kids always being like the sidekick. And then also having like a little bit of like issues with family and friends. A lot of internalized like homophobia developed then.
They were hoping to resolve this privately, but it all became public.
I was outed to my middle school as queer without me like fully realizing it then. And that, given that I live in a really like not really like tolerant community, was really difficult.
The challenges of being outed and figuring out her identity made things really bad.
I began developing like suicidal ideation, it was really difficult to just balance a bunch of like things going on that it sometimes felt like it was completely helpless to keep trying.
Talking about mental health can be tough, but as a recent Trevor Project report found out, it's more important than ever. The nonprofit released a study examining the mental health of LGBTQ AAPI youth ages 13 to 24. It found 40% considered suicide in the past year, and those who faced racism, well, they had even higher rates.
There wasn't any questions that I didn't think you were going to ask, just like to leave with.
Maisha Price is a senior research scientist at the Trevor Project. She says AAPI LGBTQ youth have unique intersectional marginalized identities, which affects their experiences.
And they've been largely overlooked by previous research.
But this new research can provide a better understanding.
Be able to provide those recommendations for people who are working directly with them so that they can better support their unique needs that they have.
Whereas many studies lump all AAPI people together, this one honed in on different ethnicities.
For this particular study, we were able to look at specific findings for six major AAPI origin groups, and that includes Pacific Islander, Native Hawaiian, Chinese, Filipino, Indian, Korean, and Vietnamese LGBTQ youth. We were also able to look at transgender and non-binary AAPI LGBTQ youth.
The research shows needs vary. For example, remember what I just said about 40% of AAPI youth seriously considering suicide? For Pacific Islander Native Hawaiians, that number is 49%. This comes as Pacific Islander Native Hawaiians are more out and reported higher rates of discrimination and physical harm. This study also found that 16% of AAPI LGBTQ youth attempted suicide in the past year. Maisha says this community faces stigmatization based on their queerness and race.
From what we were able to see, one of the unique findings is that AAPI LGBTQ youth face discrimination based on their race ethnicity in the past year, and that's higher than other LGBTQ youth. And they also face discrimination based on their immigration status. And that's at 1 in 10 reported discrimination based on their immigration status, which is nearly double the overall sample of LGBTQ youth report.
Hate crimes against Asian New Yorkers are skyrocketing, and the attacks are not only growing in numbers, but are also becoming more violent.
Data shows 1 in 8 Asian Americans reported a hate crime in 2020. In 2021, it rose to 1 in 6. This comes as anti-queer rhetoric is also rising. Over 300 anti-LGBTQ bills have been proposed this year. And experts say political hate speech is linked to hate crimes. The Anti-Defamation League released a new report saying hate-based harassment online is high and disproportionately hurting AAPI and LGBTQ people. It's a lot for anyone to handle, especially teenagers.
I think there's a lot of, like, a huge part of being Asian, and also in the sense of being queer, is like for some reason people like expect you to just naturally be resilient. And although that is true in so many aspects, like I genuinely believe that just like, you know, my existence in both communities is resilience against a lot of different systems of oppression.
After dealing with her immediate mental health crisis, Crystal wanted to help others.
I volunteered for a lot of like sketchy, now that I think about it, hotlines, for emotional hotlines that offered like volunteer positions for very young teenagers. And that's when I realized, when I was like having one of those conversations with someone, like, oh, like I can't fix my own trauma by trying to fix other people's trauma all the time. Like I gotta do more work than just that. And when I finally had that realization, I was like, all right, mom, we gotta talk about this.
Her mom knew someone who would be the perfect therapist.
And I was very, very fortunate that I got connected with a first-generation Chinese woman who had very similar life experiences that I had.
Many therapists say sharing an ethnic or racial background with clients gives them a deeper understanding of issues. And that's important when it comes to family problems. Crystal says it wasn't easy talking about her sexuality with her family. She says in many Asian American households, there is a heavy emphasis on tradition, sacrifice, and family duty.
It was like so many different concerns of like criticisms from like a religious aspect.
Her family would say things like, it's just a phase.
Like a gaslighting almost of like queerness in the sense that they were like, oh, you'll like boys when you get to high school. And now since I'm, you know, in the process of exploring my gender identity a little bit more, I'm kind of being like, oh my God, I have to go through that all over again.
Like how Crystal's family still uses she, her pronouns, not she, they. So that will be another conversation, but she's at least hopeful.
It's a big theme in my life that it's getting better overall, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So yeah, family's been a little bit rough.
Crystal believes the disconnect a lot of Asian American parents have in understanding their queer children has to do with fear. Parents don't want their kids to face the same discrimination or xenophobia older generations faced in the U.S.
But I think there's like a lot of judgment on how I would be perceived by like my peers and by like my employers or teachers if I were to have public affections with non-men, if that made sense. Like how other people would perceive me and how that would affect my future career if I was like publicly and like proudly queer.
According to the Trevor Project, AAPI LGBTQ youth are out to their parents at lower rates when compared to queer young people overall. But Maisha says, while society puts a strong emphasis on being out, there needs to be a safe space to come out in.
And so I think for AAPI youth, they may just find that it's easier at the time, at that moment, to not be out to parents or family members in order to capture some of the importance of race, ethnicity, for example, if they're not finding that it's as important at that time in that moment. And so to hold on to some of that cohesiveness from the family environment.
Crystal says Asian American teens often grow up believing their life choices will reflect on their entire families, including parents, elders, and ancestors. And teens may also feel indebted to their parents' sacrifices.
And I think that lack of empathy sometimes comes from a good, sometimes good-intentioned, like, sense of, we, like, have worked so hard to raise you. Why can't you just like get this small thing right? And it seems like it's a small thing, but like, for example, like in my context, it could be like, we like immigrated here from Indonesia and China and Taiwan, and like we worked our butts off to, you know, pay for all of these AP class tests, for example. Why can't you just study so that we, you know, we put this in? Like, why can't you just like do it? And I think like, and also we raise you and we love you so much. Why can't you just do it? It's like, it's kind of this disconnect of like, they think like, they put in the input and the output is just supposed to come naturally perfectly, but that function doesn't work that way all of the time.
Is merging heritage and queerness together difficult? Of course. But researchers say connecting to one's roots can help a person's mental health.
We found that when AAPI LGBTQ youth had support and they felt connected to their cultural background, that was able to serve as a protective factor. So when they felt that their race or ethnicity was a very important part of who they were, they reported nearly half the rate of attempted suicide in the past year compared to AAPI LGBTQ youth who did not feel that that was important to them.
The Trevor Project also found that having a supportive family, friends, and access to LGBTQ affirming spaces made a big difference. Crystal doesn't want others going through the same pain they went through, so she volunteers for several mental health advocacy groups. She's the writing director of Each Mind. That's a youth-led organization that creates media about teen mental health. She's also a social media facilitator for Mind Out Loud, another group advocating for mental health awareness. And they run their school's mental health club. Despite all this, Crystal still feels pressure to do more, be better, and be perfect.
I think especially like this year and in my high school years specifically, when all of those pressures got like too much, it was hard to explain to my family that like, I can't like, and also not just my family, but also with other people that like, I can't handle all of this. Like, just because I'm Asian or just because I'm queer, like, I'm not like magically able to like handle all of my responsibilities just because I fit into like these minority groups, right? So there's definitely that kind of like stigma.
They also feel pressure to make the world better for queer folks, Asian American people, and other communities of color, which can feel overwhelming.
As someone who fits in both of those communities, can seem like really pressurizing in that it's like, oh, it's my turn. Like, I gotta fix all of this stuff. Like, I gotta make sure that my communities are safe, and I gotta make sure this community is safe. It's like really overwhelming how much is still wrong and how much it feels like it's all on a teenager's shoulders who happens to be in all of these communities.
Helping others means you have to help yourself. Crystal is getting better at taking care of her own mental health. They also know when it's time to take a break.
Understanding that, like, especially like being a part of these communities that are constantly attacked, that I also deserve rest from it. Like, I used to feel guilty when I was like watching TV when I could have been writing a new infographic or doing something like that. But as like a huge part of my like philosophy that's evolved over time has been understanding that more than anyone in some ways, that like people who are most affected by these communities deserve to like look away for some time and look back at when they're ready.
In short, self-care has to be a part of activism.
Congress is taking a major step to combat hate crimes against Asian Americans. This follows a recent surge in violence related to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Crystal is only 17, but she's trying to figure out how to push mental health advocacy further. She says laws are not enough.
Violence against queer people, it does not stop when like legislation is passed, right? And I think the same thing can be applied with being like Asian American, that like just because you say this thing at a press conference, or you, even if you do pass like anti-hate crime legislation bill, that doesn't stop a lot of the like underlying roots of white supremacy completely plaguing this entire country and how it treats people who look like me.
She believes society isn't spending enough time looking at the root cause of oppressive systems that trickle down into other problems.
Like patriarchy, for example, like colonialism, imperialism, like white supremacy, looking at the root of the issue not only helps and aids the queer community and Asian community, but like helps a lot of marginalized and like oppressed communities.
And they want politicians to take a long, hard look at this, not just slap a band-aid on it.
Let's say, for example, bullying. I think a lot of like solutions to this, for example, are very like band-aid solutions, like punishing bullies like harder, or putting up more posters to like spread more awareness. And although I think like obviously those are well intentioned, I think a lot of these politicians don't look at the core root of like a lot of like issues that stem with bullying, right? And not fully understanding like to what extent bullying has evolved to be.
Maisha says to help shape policy, more research is needed, especially on those with intersectional identities.
And I think it speaks to what groups have been saying all along. Other groups have been saying, we don't have the data, we need the data, we need the data.
Better information will help advocates
to be able to say, like, here's the data that supports my unique needs for my community that I'm trying to address.
After awareness comes action.
For example, like with awareness around like suicide prevention and putting up posters, all of that is great. And even I do that stuff for my school. There needs to be more than just like posters, right? There needs to be like curriculum developed and actual like foundation set that ensure that no one actually has to like go up to that poster and look up those numbers and like obtain those resources, even though those are like really important.
It's important to remember, young people are not experiencing mental health issues because they're queer or because they're Asian American. They're struggling because of how classmates, family, and society treats them. But Crystal shares this message of hope.
I think something that I've been like emphasizing to a lot of younger people who are part of like similar marginalized communities that are struggling in similar ways I have like struggled in the past is that like really hold on to the idea of like hope, and understanding that hope isn't like, can be seem like very cheap and like just, oh, you know, it'll get better, be hopeful, but understanding that like there's hope in the idea that sometime in the future, you know, I can't promise you that it'll be the next minute or the next hour or even like the next month or a few weeks that you'll feel better, but at least you'll feel different. And at some point, it's going to change for the better. And that what you're feeling right now will ultimately be temporary. And finding hope that like whatever like really crappy times are happening right now, you won't stay in that period for like a really long time.
How impressive is Crystal? They are literally doing more than I certainly did at her age and at my age now. Well, if you or someone you know is in immediate crisis, call the U.S. National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
You can get the number off of Google, or of course, here it is. It's 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Someone is on the other end 24/7, day or night.
You can also text HOME to 741-741. That will take you to the crisis text line. Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying It's Okay to Say Gay, please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks so much to producer Dempsey Pilott, producer Jill Webb, of course, who wrote and produced this story, Andy Egan Thorpe, who worked as a sound engineer and helping me with co-hosting duties, Tim Schaud is the WCBS News Radio 880 brand manager, Ben Mevarak is the 1010 Winds brand manager, and I'm your host and executive producer, Fahmy Redwood. Thanks for joining.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.